This homily was recorded in the context of a Tridentine Latin Mass on the second Sunday of Lent in Washington, D.C., and the Gospel is the same as in the Novus Ordo, which is the Gospel of the Transfiguration, but the epistle I make reference to in here is from first letter of the Thessalonians, which is the epistle for the second Sunday of Lent in the Tridentine calendar. So that might explain, if you're not familiar with the different readings for these masses, it would just explain to you why I make reference to that reading. I want to preach a little bit on the theme of, if you will, finding a pathway to peace in our life. This gospel has some important things to say about how we can discover the Lord's peace in our life. Often during Lent we think that we're to focus on our sins, and we are, but not simply to put ourselves through a kind of a thing that might stir up guilt in us, but rather so that we can look at our sins, be free of them, and experience the Lord's peace. And so it is that tonight, on the second Sunday of Lent, the Church puts before us each year this Gospel of the Transfiguration. And the apostles go with Jesus up on this mountaintop, and they have a powerful experience of peace, also a powerful experience of the majesty of God in their lives. So with that in mind, I'd like to look at a couple of aspects of this gospel. First of all, notice, if you will, that there is a kind of a preparation for peace. It says that he took them up a high mountain by themselves. Now, some of you may have been to the Holy Land, to Mount Tabor, the traditional site of the Transfiguration, and if you have, you know that this mountain is truly a mountain. It is not just a little hill. You have to get it into these special cars with special transmissions. And they take you up this road that weaves like Z patterns all the way up the side. And it takes a long time to get up there, even by car. I went up in air-conditioned comfort. But the apostles and Jesus had to hoof it. They had to climb this mountain. It is, if you will, a tremendous climb that may have taken the better part of a day or a day and a half. It was no easy climb. Now I point this out because you see, brothers and sisters, part of experiencing a sense of peace and well-being in our life means that we have to be willing to put in the hard work, to put things in order in our life. Now let me just give you a simple example. If I were to walk out in the congregation and just hand you all a paragraph to read, you wouldn't be stressed out about that. Most all of you, if not every single one of you, can read. You don't get nervous about reading. You just pick it up and start reading. You don't even think about it. But stop and think for a moment all the hard work that goes into your capacity to do something which is actually fairly complicated. To take strange ink spots on a page and translate them with your eye and in your mind, and allow them to become words and thoughts within your mind. That is a very sophisticated thing that we do almost without effort. But again, think of all the work you had to do in your younger years in order to enjoy this peaceful ability to read. And it doesn't stress you out at all. You had to learn the ABCs and how letters and words fit together, how to spell, how to interpret words, all the things that go into reading. And we do it almost without effort. But you had to climb to get to that point in your life where you were able to take a text and read it. In order to get to this mountaintop experience, Peter, James, and John with Jesus have to climb to get there. And I want to suggest to you that the Lord does ask of us in life some difficult things. It's a simple truth of life that life is hard. But life is a lot harder if you and I don't put in the hard work, especially early in life. This morning at Mass in my parish, I was preaching to the young people, and I was warning them that if they weren't willing to work hard when they were young, to develop their skills, to learn self-control, and to not walk off into sinful and stupid behaviors, their life would be very difficult and they would not have peace. If, however, they were to work to, if you will, make the climb, apply themselves, study hard, and discipline themselves, and maintain self-control and not wander off into premarital sex or into drugs or into fast driving and dangerous behaviors, that their life would be much more peaceful and many more doors would be open to them. And that's the first thing that I just simply want to say, that if you and I are looking for peace in our life, we have to also be ready to make the climb, to do the things that are necessary to keep our life in good order. And I promise you, if we do that work, our life is much more peaceful, much more wonderful, and we can experience much more of the glory of God, much more of the peace that God offers. So that's the first thing that I think we learn from this gospel. In order to get to this place of achievement, this place of experiencing God's glory and to some extent His peace, Peter, James, and John with Jesus have to put in the climb. So it is for us. Now, the next thing I want you to notice is not only the preparation for this moment of peace, but also the pause that takes place in this gospel. Peter is excited to be on this mountaintop and says, "Lord, it is so good to be here. Let's set up 3 tents. Let's just pitch some tents and stay up here a while and savor this." Now, here too is an important lesson, especially for us in the modern world who live such busy and hectic lives. It is a very important thing for you and for me to live recollected lives, to live a reflective life, where we stop every now and then and enjoy the fruit of our labor, but also we take time to ask the important questions in our life. What am I doing with my life? Where am I going? Where is God? Where am I? To take some time and savor moments of rest and reflection. And because many people do not do much of that today, simply living hurried and rushed lives, very unreflective lives, people lack peace. They're agitated, anxious, worried, upset about many things. Peter has a good instinct here. He says, "Let's stop a moment and let's savor this moment that it is good that we are here." Isn't that really what the Lord is saying to all of us when He says, "I command you to take one day and rest"? We don't do that very well. Sadly, many people don't even get to church on Sunday, let alone rest. So it is that the Lord commands us to rest and to reflect. And He has written it into our very nature that we should sleep 8 hours a day. Again, most of us cut short on that. And then we want to know why we're anxious and upset about many things and everyone's running off to a therapist. We're all over the place with anxiety, with stress. We're not listening to what the Lord says. The Lord teaches us to stop, pause, to savor the good things in life, to become men and women of hope who count our blessings, who enjoy our blessings. As it is, we simply become negative and anxious about many things. Not only do I want you to see the kind of preparation that's necessary for this peace and the pause that's necessary for it, but There's also a prescription then, finally, for our peace. Out of the cloud, the Father's voice is heard. This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. Too many people lack peace in their life because they will not listen to God. Again, as I was saying to the young people today that I spoke to, that if they don't want to listen to God, to God's moral plan for their life, if they don't want to be men and women who pray, who reflect, who stay close to the church and the scriptures, if they want to wander off and do their own thing, I promise them nothing but difficulties, nothing but grief and pain. If, however, they are willing, as we must all be willing, to listen to God and to base our life on what He says, I do not promise a life that has no sorrows or no setbacks, but I do promise a life that is much simpler, much more pleasant, much more peaceful. Again, it's a very simple prescription, but we get it wrong all the time. Listen to Him. Look at the epistle today. And look what a mess our world is in because people don't listen to this. Paul is basically saying here to the Thessalonians that they are to live chastely. They are not to give way to fornication. They are not to give way to premarital sex and adultery. They're to keep their bodies clean and their hearts pure. Now, how much grief and pain and sorrow and lack of peace is in our world today because people do not listen to what God is saying here. Unfortunately, many of our children become sexually active very early, pregnant at 14, or if not that, sexually transmitted diseases and, God forbid, abortions, broken hearts, confusion. Some of them never even get to college because they're already trying to raise kids at 15 and 16. Which they're not ready to do. The grief and the pain that comes from this. And then we begin to extend it into all of family life. We see the divorce rates and how our families are breaking apart. How the promiscuity just destroys family life. And you know, the ones who suffer are the little children. They're the ones who pay the price. Again, there cannot be peace in our world if we refuse to listen to the Lord. We serve simply our pleasure and go off and do our own thing, and what ends up happening? Grief, pain, sorrow. It's not just this matter, it could be any number of other things, but that's in the first reading today, so I choose to point it out. But brothers and sisters, how high does the body count have to go in this culture of ours, this promiscuous culture of ours, before we finally start to say, maybe God had a point? AIDS, venereal disease, teenage pregnancy, abortions, broken families, broken hearts. How high does the body count have to go before we finally start to say, Satan's way and the way of the world and the way of the flesh does not bring peace. Only God's way. Chastity is a very beautiful thing. Staying chaste till marriage, and then within marriage, living chastely. That is to stay by staying completely faithful to one spouse. This is God's plan. One man for one woman till death do them part. Chastity before marriage. Chastity within marriage through complete fidelity. This is God's plan. So much grief and sorrow would disappear in a moment if we would just listen to God. And so today, a kind of a plan for peace in our life. The first part of the plan, to be willing to make the climb, to put things in order in our life, which is not always easy. Secondly, to pause and reflect on the blessings that God has given us. Thirdly, to listen carefully and base our life on what God has said. Amen.